Amen. That I might know him, the power of his resurrection, the reason he don't never fail. We know it. We're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ because of the resurrection of our Savior. If you have your Bibles tonight, let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1. It's a very common passage of Scripture. Thank you, preacher, for the opportunity to preach once again behind this pulpit. It's an honor and a privilege, and I'm unworthy and undeserving, but the Lord's been good. Thank you all for being faithful to the house of God on a Sunday night, too. Amen. Not many of them left. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18. Your Bible says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Lord, I thank you once again for another day of life. Lord, I thank you for giving us the opportunity be in the Lord's house tonight. Lord, I can't do it without you, and I don't want to. Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross of Calvary. Fill me with the power of God this evening. Lord, I pray that you would have your will and your way. If there be somebody lost in here tonight, Lord, I pray that we'd not leave without getting saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I love you and I trust you. It's in your son's holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Pastor asked me to preach tonight on Wednesday night, and I began to pray and study. I always study, but I began to study specifically for tonight. And as I was reading through my Bible, I just ended up being around Calvary a bunch, that cross, that place that changed my life. Tonight, I just want to linger around Calvary. Yeah. That word Calvary is in your Bible in the book of Luke. The only reason it's significant to us is because of the man who died there who made it Calvary. Yeah. The one who changed our lives, the one who gave us the hope that we have today. As you think about Calvary, as I think about Calvary, there's so many things that happened at Calvary. That's where our sin was paid for. That's where the new covenant came to be. That's where Christ took on sin for us. That's where what was undeserving and we didn't deserve, Christ took it upon himself so that we could be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. As you look through your Bible in John chapter 19, we see that Christ carried his own cross to Calvary. He carried his cross up there and suffered for us. He did that for us. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, we see that he was humbled and he was obedient unto death. We're talking about a perfect man that was obedient unto death to make this place called Calvary so that one day when we die, we can make it to a place called heaven. You get to Hebrews 12, in verse number 2, it's talking about how he's finished our faith. Where? At the cross. He finishes it there on Calvary. And then you get to 1 Peter chapter 2, and it talks about where he became sin for us. I've learned in my Christian life, I don't know many things. I don't claim to be the smartest man in the world, because I'm not. But one thing I've learned as a Christian is the longer you hang around Calvary, the closer you get to Christ. The longer you hang around Calvary, the more you get the answers to things. I've learned in my short Christian life all of the things that are found at Calvary, and I can't even begin to explain each and every one of them. In 1 Corinthians, we read where unto us, to the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Right. We live our Christian life. How? At least how are we supposed to? Through the power of God. We can't live it in ourselves. We can't live it in our abilities. We can't live it in our talents. I can be capable to do lots of things, but as our own pastor says and as the Word of God says, without that true vine from the book of John, friend, without the Holy Ghost, there is nothing. The true Christian life is lived through the power of God. Where do you get the power of God? You hang around Calvary long enough, and you'll begin to feel the power of God. I have found, the night I got saved, where was I at? I was at Calvary. I just want to linger around Calvary tonight. Have you ever been so deep in fellowship with God, praying to Christ, and you feel like you're literally at the foot of the cross, and you wrap your arms around Calvary, and you say, "Lord, I don't want to leave. Lord, I just want to stay right here. I don't have the answers to everything, but this place I'm at right now, Brother Barry, this is a place that's changing me right now. That place is Calvary, friend." The world chooses to go a lot of different ways. We think being popular and getting out there with our friends and doing all this and all that is going to have the answer to all of our problems. Let me tell you a secret. Money don't fix everything. The best job don't fix everything. Living in sin don't fix everything. Fornicating don't fix everything. What fixes everything is being at Calvary. Yeah. Being next to Christ. Having that fellowship that God has called us to have. The first thing I found at Calvary, Brother Roger, was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the first thing that changed my life, Brother Beck. the dead, and now I can go to that cross and be washed in the blood of Jesus, and I know where I'm going when I die. I find the Lamb of God himself at Calvary. The Bible makes it clear the blood of bulls and goats ain't getting us to heaven, friend. We're in a new day, a new age, a new dispensation. What gets us to heaven? There's only one thing, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ. If you've never been to Calvary and have the blood of Jesus Christ wash over your soul, you're going to die and go to heaven. The blood has done so much for me in my life.
Amen.
Pastor, I think about all the things the blood did for me. It protects me from hell. It provides that power that I need for the Christian life. It is what has made my life as prosperous as it can be through Christ. Why? Because I've been washed with Christ's blood.
Amen.
I've been washed through the perfect Lamb of God. I've been washed by the one that said, I'm going to taste death for every man. And not only have I been washed in it, but I believe my Bible teaches me, friend, that everybody can be washed in the blood.
Amen.
Everybody can be washed in the blood. Everybody gets an opportunity to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Them Calvinists, they love the book of Hebrews so much, but they skip over that verse that says that he tasted death for every man, friend. If you're sitting under the shadow of my voice tonight, this is God saying, hey, you can get washed in the blood of Jesus and be saved by the grace of God. I found salvation at the cross. I found salvation at Calvary as a 13-year-old boy. Middle of a field of Indiana. I tell you all the time, I'll tell it again. I was sitting there, friend. The preacher had preached that morning. He preached again that night. All day I thought, I'm not saved. I know I'm not saved. If I die, I'm going to go to hell. At the end of that service that night, I went down. I had a counselor come up to me. I said, I've been raised in church my whole life. I know what I got to do. And I bowed my head. I said, Lord, I need you. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Christ saved me that night. Not only do I see and feel salvation at the foot of Calvary, which is what happens when you get to Calvary, but I realized through my Christian life the sacrifice of Calvary.
Amen.
You get to Calvary as a Christian, and you begin to realize, let me just give you one, how much grace God has for us.
Amen.
Come boldly to the throne room of grace, the Bible says. That's going to Calvary. That's going to Christ himself, friend. You go to the foot of the cross, and you talk to Christ. I have found that he has had grace upon grace. That is him, and sacrificed himself, friend. Died on the cross so that every time we sin, he can say, I've already washed you in the blood.
Amen.
I've come to the foot of the cross and said, Lord, I've made a mistake. We're all a bunch of filthy, rotten sinners in here.
Amen.
Ain't none of us perfect. I sin, you sin, the pastor sins, Brother Roger definitely sins. We all sin in here tonight, okay? We're all sinners saved by the grace of God. But you will learn in your Christian life, friend, at Calvary is where you get the grace you need. Calvary is where Christ can humble you. Calvary is where Christ can teach you that godliness with contentment is great gain. Calvary, friend, you go to Calvary, that's where you get into fellowship with God. That's when your Christian life goes beyond, hey, I'm saved. That's when your Christian life goes beyond, look what I can do. That's when your Christian life goes beyond the surface level of faith. You get to a place where Christ and yourself are in fellowship. And you can talk to Christ and you can find grace with Christ. And then Christ will teach you how to have grace on everybody else. Which we need that too. I see true love at Calvary. Ain't nobody ever loved you like Jesus did. I wish I can love you like Jesus did, but I can't. Christ loved us enough. Friend, you think about, Miss Karen McKenzie gave me an article probably about a year ago now about what happens to somebody physically and emotionally when they're crucified on a cross. You read that thing, I can only make it about two pages in before I start weeping, thinking about the suffering that Christ did. He did that for us.
He
did that for us.
Yes.
The more I hang around Calvary and bow my head before God and say, Lord, I love you. I have learned nobody loves me like Christ loves me. You're looking for love tonight in all the wrong places. You think sin's going to fix it? You think whatever it is that you're into tonight, you think that's going to fix it? You know what's going to fix it? You find someone that loves you.
Amen.
And nobody will love you like Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Because I love everybody in this building, and I mean it with everything in me. But I can't love you like Christ did.
Amen.
I can't die for you. I didn't die for you. I'm imperfect. But Christ loved every one of us enough to die for us. He has given us the example and the picture of humility and obedience and what love is. He was obedient unto death. They didn't take his life. He gave his life. He chose to die for us. He forgave them that scourged him.
on Calvary, friend, we'd be here for 4 hours. When you get into detail of all the things that happened at Calvary, that's when the new covenant took place, friend. That's when the Bible said that the bulls and goats, the blood, is not going to get us to heaven. Calvary is what makes it okay. If we didn't have Calvary reading this book, all we would be able to say is, well, what are we doing here? Unto them that aren't saved and don't understand, it's foolishness. But if you're saved, it is the power of God, because we are living through the resurrection of Christ, friend. My body's going to die one day, but my spirit's going to heaven.
Amen.
Why? Because of Calvary. Because Christ died for me. I found true love at Calvary. I still find true love at Calvary. In my Christian life, preacher, I've learned there's people that like you, there's people that don't. It's what it is. Some of y'all love me, some of y'all don't. Some of y'all act like you do when you really don't, and I'm not stupid, and I know that you don't. But you know who always loves me, preacher? Christ always loves me. I don't care what you think, friend. I can come bow my head at the foot of the cross, and Christ says, son, I love you. Son, I'm going to give you the answer to what it is. I think, Lord, why? Why did they do that? Why did they act like that? Why did they treat me like that? Sometimes I'm sensitive, get my feelings hurt. Christ comes down and puts his hand on me, and he says, son, I love you. Son, I'm going to give you the answer. When's the last time you went to Calvary? As Christians, we get saved at Calvary, and then we do everything in our flesh. You get saved at Calvary. Yippee, I'm saved by the blood of Jesus. You live on the mountain, and then you do whatever you want because you got fire insurance. The Christian life is meant to have fellowship. The Christian life is meant to walk with Christ and live a godly life and walk in righteousness. The only way you can be righteous, friend, is through Jesus Christ, which means you have to fellowship with him. You have to walk with him. You have to go to the foot of the cross. You have to stay at Calvary. I've learned, preacher, that the people that think they can do everything and handle everything on their own, they haven't been to Calvary. I'll be the first one to tell you, sometimes I get my schedule so full, preacher, I promise people I'll take care of this, I'll take care of this, I'll do this, and I'll do this, and I want to do everything for everybody, and I just can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it all on my own.
No, you can't do it.
I can't preach on my own. I can't help you with everything on my own. But through Christ, I can. And Christ can help you, and Christ loves you more than anything in this world. At Calvary, I find so many different things. I've got about 50 of them written down here. We've made it through two. I found, through my Christian life, I found at Calvary the purpose of life. What is the purpose of life? Our pastor says it from this pulpit all the time, to magnify Christ. Preacher, you preached this morning what I taught in Sunday school. Isn't it crazy how God works? I taught in Sunday school to these kids out of Psalms where David talks about praising the Lord and blessing the Lord and magnifying the name of Christ, and that's what matters. And our pastor got up this morning and said, all it is to magnify Christ. He talked about how some people just use things as a stepping stone, and it's about them, but really it should be about Christ. Yeah. At Calvary, I've learned what the purpose of life is. The purpose of life is to glorify God.
Amen.
That's our whole purpose in life. You want the glory, I want the glory, God deserves the glory.
Amen.
We're all breathing tonight by the grace of God.
Yeah.
He deserves the glory. We all walked in here tonight by the grace of God. He deserves the glory. We all ate today. He deserves the glory. We all, most of y'all look like you're clothed and you got what you need to live. That's by the grace of God. It's for his glory. The skills you have and the talents you have, you better thank God for them, because he can take them from you as quick as he gave them to you. We get people so often that think, I'm the best at this and I can do this and I can do that. Maybe you need to go to Calvary and realize that you can't actually do it on your own. You'll burn out, you'll mess up, you'll make a mistake, you'll find yourself in sin somewhere. Friend, you have to spend time at Calvary. I've been lingering in my Bible around the cross, around Calvary. I've been laying in bed at night saying, Lord, there's so much to do with Calvary. How am I going to preach it all at once? I'm going to get as far as I can. It's supposed to rain all night. We'll just stay in here. It'll be all right. Not only do I find the purpose of life, and that is to glorify Christ, but I found the perspective for life. The perspective that we're supposed to have as Christians gets tainted, and it gets messed up, and it gets blurred, and the lines get blurred. We get busy sometimes, or maybe you're just an immature Christian, and maybe you're saved, and you've not learned how to have fellowship with Christ, and you've not learned how to study the Bible yet, and you've not learned how to live a godly life. Maybe you haven't learned how to be content with Christ. The more I've hung around Calvary, Brother Roger, I've learned a perspective that I'm should be, what is this going to do eternally? Obviously, I get it. You're supposed to provide for your family, and there's some things that we have to do. You got to go to work. You got to do those things. But God gives you opportunity through everything to glorify Him. I'm in the same position now. I'm a married man. My wife's pregnant. I'm the baby boy coming up in January or something like that. Those of you that didn't know, now you know. So I can preach on some of this stuff now, preacher. I know what it's like to have to provide for a family now, but I still see opportunities God gives me. And He says, son, you better glorify me in this. Son, you better glorify me in this. The perspective of life gets tainted because we look at it through human eyes. You've got to look at it. You've got to look at it through Christ's eyes, friend. You've got to look at it through that blood that has been shed on the cross of Calvary. You've got to look at it through the Word of God. Amen. You've got to look at what the Bible says. This should be what's in front of us. This is how I live. This is what we do. Churches so often. Friend, we are to live a godly life according to the gospel. We are to spend time at Calvary. Why do people get out so quick? They never learn how to fellowship with God. Why do people get caught up in sin? Because you choose to fellowship with people more than fellowship with God. Fellowshipping with people matters. The Bible tells us to fellowship with the brethren, and I'm all for it. But friend, your fellowship with God better come long before your fellowship with people. You know what else I've learned, preacher? The more I fellowship with God, the more God tells me things when I am fellowshipping with people.
That's right.
The more I fellowship with God, amen. Brother Crane, the more sometimes I'm talking to people or doing something, and God just slips a little bit of discernment in there and says, you better be careful. Or He says, hey, let's not be here right now. Let's be careful with this. You only get that at Calvary. It is the power of God to live our life out. Friend, you have to get that. You have to understand. I came into this church as a 14-year-old boy. I was saved. I'd been preaching for about 6 months. And then I got to listen to my pastor for years preach on fellowship with God, fellowship with God. I came from a church that I'd never even heard fellowship with God. Everything was pharisaical and everything was surface level. And there was no doctrine to it. And there was no substance to it. My pastor got up and preached. He said, you got to have fellowship with God. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And I began to read it. Brother Barry, I began to study it. I began to think, what is he talking about? What is this fellowship with God? I got into Romans chapter 8. I started reading about the Christian life and all of those things. Friend, I have learned that Calvary is the best place to be.
Amen.
Calvary is where fellowship with God is. That's where He came down and met you. That's where you should stay.
Amen.
It's just like Boaz and Ruth in that field. He said, stay in my field. Christ tells us all the time, just stay here at Calvary. Just stay here at Calvary with me.
Amen.
We want the answer to all of our problems. We want to talk to people. We want to complain about things. You know where you're going to get the answer? Take it to Calvary. Take it to Calvary. I see the perspective of life. I find all the answers to everything at Calvary.
Amen.
I find answered prayers at Calvary. I find unanswered prayers at Calvary. I see the hand of God at Calvary. There's things that happen in my life and I think, why did this happen like this? And I'll talk about it with my wife or I'll talk about it with my dad and we'll try to figure it out. Sometimes I'm like, all right, I just need to take this to the Lord. And then I'll get out and pray and God will come down and say, son, I know what's best. I know it doesn't make sense right now, but it's going to make sense eventually. You just stay here at Calvary.
Yeah.
You just stay here where you need to be. It's just like a father and son. Brother Nathan, your son, you're going to go to Dollywood. Make sure you can see your son, right? You're going to make sure you want him in your field. You want to make sure I can see this for him. That's how God is with us. We're a bunch of rebellious little hellions. And we choose to run out of that field. We choose to go do what we want and live on our own and expect ourselves to accomplish things. Friend, we have to stay at Calvary. Calvary has the answers to all of our problems.
Amen.
Calvary has the answers to everything in life. We see Christ at Calvary was obedient unto death, being humbled in the form of a servant, just like us. Just like Pastor said this morning, He became us. He became man, 100% man and 100% God.
Right.
Friend, He is the picture. Paul said that I may live like Christ is crucified. He is the picture. Christ was humbled at Calvary, naked, carrying his own cross. He was obedient unto death at Calvary.
Amen.
That's a picture for us in our Christian life.
Amen.
To be humble and to be obedient and to trust God. Jesus never said, "This is what I want to do." He always said, "Thy will be done." The will of the Father be done, friend.
Amen.
He always was obedient to the Father. We are to always be obedient to Him. We are always to be humbled through Him. We are always to be humbled. How do you get there? I'll tell you where you can get there. Come to Calvary. Thank God we have an altar they know not of. Calvary can be anywhere.
That's right.
Calvary can be right here on this altar. Calvary can be in your car. Calvary can be at your bedside. Friend, Calvary is everywhere because it is the power of God that saves us. And it is the power of that resurrection that makes it. Friend, I don't know if y'all are understanding this, but if you never have fellowship with God, you're missing out on something. You start hanging around Calvary and it will change your life.
Amen.
It will change your perspective on things. It will make you realize that you've got to rely on God. I'm learning more and more, preacher. Watching you and helping you the best that I can. I'm learning more and more that sometimes, Brother Roger, I just got to let go, let God take care of me. I'll come home, I'll get inside, you can ask my wife, I'll give her a rant for about 30 minutes, I'll be like, I don't know what to do, I don't know how to handle this, and then I'm like, you know what? This is just going to have to be a God thing. I can't fix it. I can't handle it. All the answers are at Calvary, friend. You got problems in your life? You've been praying and praying and praying and praying. You stay at Calvary. You want to know how to fix it? Talking about it don't fix it. Calvary fixes it.
Amen.
Christ fixes it. Yeah, I don't know what your problem is tonight. I know the problems I got in my life that I've got to go to Calvary for over and over again. It doesn't matter what it is, friend. Calvary is where there's grace. Calvary is where there's the blood of Jesus Christ. Calvary is where the Lamb of God is. Calvary is where love is. We must spend our Christian life at Calvary. Some of y'all looking at me like a calf at a new gate, thinking, why is he telling me to pray more? Because you need to pray more. That's why I said it. Some of y'all are looking at me like, I'm the best Christian in the world. No, you're not. You're not the best Christian in the world. And you don't like my preaching. But friend, I'm telling you the truth tonight. Being at Calvary is what makes you a Christian. You can be saved and not be a Christian. You can be saved and not be Christ-like. I've been teaching the teenagers this, preacher, that. You can be saved and still live like hell. You can be saved and be going to heaven and live like hell. I'm talking about being a mature Christian tonight. I'm talking about spending time at Calvary so that you can be a mature Christian. Not a, I'm saved and that's good enough. Not a, I'm half faithful to church Christian. Not a, I'll sin when I want and use God's grace as a crutch Christian. I'm talking about being a real Christian. I'm talking about being an example in the church and out of the church. I'm talking about pointing to Christ. You know when someone's a mature Christian, you know that they're not a mature Christian when everything's about them. That's how you know. Everything's about them. Look what I've done. Look what I do. Everything, me, look at me, I. It reminds me of the devil over there in Isaiah where he said, I. That's what Satan said. You know someone's a mature Christian when everything's pointed to Christ. I find the answers at Calvary. I find brokenness at Calvary. I find broken people at Calvary. I was broken the night I got saved. I've preached all across this country. I've watched people come from broken situations, walk down to Calvary, and say, that's the best place I've ever been. Walking down to Calvary fixed all of my problems. It may not have fixed everything in the real life, but friend, that peace and that joy that comes in.
Yes,
with that brokenness at Calvary, there's the joy and the peace of God that comes at Calvary, friend. Calvary is life-changing. Ultimately, you find the person at Calvary. You find the person of Jesus Christ at Calvary. You find salvation at Calvary. You find what is life changing at Calvary. We need to linger around Calvary. Sometimes we linger around each other so much. It's time to separate and linger around Calvary. Parents, when's the last time you took your kids to Calvary? Let's go to Calvary together. Let's go talk to God together. When's the last time you took your spouse to Calvary? Honey, let's go to Calvary together. Let's go talk to God together. When's the last time you spent time at Calvary? You look through the Bible, friend. Everybody that got their answer solved, it happened at the foot of Jesus Christ, which is Calvary. That woman with the issue of blood crawling to Christ. That woman crawling to Christ saying, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, you know what that is for us? If I could just crawl up there to Calvary. We're prideful. We sit in our pew. God forbid I go forward and pray at Calvary. I don't want anybody to know my problems. I don't want anybody to know that something's wrong with me. Friend, God gave us Calvary for a reason. We ought to spend some time at Calvary. I have to spend time at Calvary. I'm a sinner. I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I have to go to Calvary quite often, to be honest. Not just to ask for answers, but I have to go to Calvary to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. He always gives me another chance. He always says, I love you. That's part of that humility that comes with being like Christ when he was crucified. I have learned some things at Calvary. I've learned how to be a soldier of the cross at Calvary. Being down there at Calvary in 1 Peter 2:24, where it talks about how he became sin for us, it says that so we can live righteously. Because why? We are now dead to sin. If you're saved, see, you've got Christ living inside of you. Obviously, you're still fighting the two natures. But Christ put the Holy Ghost inside of us so that we can choose to live right. Where did I learn how to be a Christian? I didn't learn it from a man. I learned it from God, and I learned it at Calvary.
Amen.
At Calvary is where, listen, there's a lot of guys my age that are preaching nowadays, and they will say exactly what their pastor says, and you can tell that they are a complete copy of their pastor. Listen, when I first got called to preach, I tried to preach like our pastor a total of about three times. And I said, you know what? That just ain't me. I can't do it. I'm not going to preach like that because that's not me. And my pastor told me and taught me, you be who God told you to be.
Amen.
You read that Bible, you study, and God will tell you.
Right.
At Calvary is where I've learned to be a soldier of the cross.
Right.
At Calvary is where I get the answers of what to do with the teenagers here. At Calvary is where Christ convicts me and says, son, don't let anybody change your mind. Drinking alcohol is a sin. Fornication is a sin. And he gives me the convictions of my heart. Where? At Calvary. Some of y'all have no conviction for anything. Why do you have no conviction for anything? You're limp-wristed. You're loose. You're liberal. Why? Because you don't spend enough time at Calvary. And you never get God to say, hey, that's a sin. You know what I need? I need God to say, son, that's a sin. Son, don't say that. That's a sin. Don't do that. That's a sin. I like it when God tells me that. It lets me know that I'm walking with him. He's correcting me. He's helping me. Some of y'all are loose. In your standard, you're loose in your Christian life. I'm not talking about being a Pharisee. Ain't none of us perfect. We ain't gonna be. But some of y'all ain't got no conviction at all. Because you don't ever spend time at Calvary. You have become your own authority. Well, I've been a Christian for this long. Well, I've been doing this at this church for this long. Well, I know what's best. No, you don't. God knows what's best. And you need conviction from God. And you get conviction from God where? At Calvary. Walking with Christ. I've told the teenagers this over the last couple of weeks. For example, in 3 years from now, if he wanted to, he could be a more mature Christian than some of you that have been saved for 30 years. If he stays at Calvary. If he walks with Christ. If he lets Christ give him conviction. If he lets Christ set his standard. We're not setting our own standard. We don't come up with what is best and what is not best. God does that. You know why people do that?
People do that so they can say, yeah, that was my idea.
Am I right, Brother Beck? Yeah, it's starting to get quiet now. At Calvary is where Christ has taught me to be faithful. At Calvary, my parents, they put it in me. And they taught me that, but it was Christ that ultimately said, son, I want you to be faithful.
Amen.
I said, Lord, I'm going to be faithful. It was at Calvary, reading the Word of God at the When's the last time you said, Lord, teach me something?
Yeah.
There's some people that just can't be taught.
Right.
A good soldier is taught how to be a soldier.
Yeah.
Matthew Howell is at boot camp right now. They didn't just sign him up and send him overseas.
Uh-huh.
No, they took him through all the training that he's going through before he ever steps on a battlefield.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's got to be trained for that. We as Christians have to be trained by Christ for that.
Yeah.
You don't get to train yourself.
No.
The flesh doesn't train you. My pastor told me a long time ago, he can't give me the answers to everything.
No.
He's told me, well, son, I've sat in his office before, I said, preach. I need you, in my head I'm thinking, I need him to tell me yes or no. And I ask him something or say something, he says, oh. And he says, and there are things that I've thought, he can answer this question so quick for me and help me. But what he has taught me was that I can always go to Calvary. Christ will always give me the answers at Calvary. Now I can preach on being a soldier of the cross all night. It teaches me how to be godly at Calvary. It's where that conviction comes in. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Some people aren't content with nothing. And some people, that's right there where it talks about the love of money is the root of all evil. But friend, that contentment is a different. Not just with money. That contentment is, some people are never content. They think they need more glory. I'm not content because I don't get to do enough. I'm not content because I need to be the one doing this and doing that. The Bible said godliness with contentment is great gain. You decide to just say, Lord, I love you and I trust you. Teach me to be content. He'll teach you to be content and your life will change. Because I've been there. I've bowed my head and said, Lord, I ask the Lord almost every day of my life, Lord, teach me to be content. Lord, teach me to be content. Because as humans, especially as a man, naturally we just want. We want more. We want this and we want that and we want this and we want that. Lord, teach me to be content. It's taught me how to be a soldier of the cross. It's taught me what to seek after. It's taught me how to worship at Calvary. Some of y'all are so prideful and you never spend any time at Calvary, and you don't never worship God worth a lick. The more you spend, the more time you spend at Calvary, the more you will worship God.
Yeah.
Those of you that sit in here every service like a knot on a log, pastor's preaching and he's saying, thank God I'm saved.
Yeah.
This is how you sit there.
Yeah, I'm saved.
Yeah, I'm saved. You know what that tells me? It tells me you ain't spent enough time at Calvary. Why? Because the Bible says in the New Testament that the Father seeketh such to worship.
Yes, he does.
That's talking about God Almighty. That wasn't talking about Jesus in that dispensation. That was talking about God Himself.
Amen.
The Father seeketh such to worship. He seeketh us to say, thank you, Lord. He seeketh us to worship Him and to praise Him and to bow before Him. Now let's clarify something. Worship is external.
Yep. Right.
Fellowship is internal. You read through your Bible. Worship is always external. Abraham said, me and the lad will go yonder and worship. Worshiping God, sacrificing his son, doing all those things. The Bible said that Job worshiped God after he found out that all of his family had died. He bowed to his knees and worshiped God.
Amen.
Yeah.
He bowed to his knees. People watched him worship God. You read all through your Bible, the woman at the well went out and told the whole city, look, this is a man that knew all that I ever done.
Yeah.
This is a man that knew everything I've ever done. And she told everybody about Christ. Worship through your whole Bible is an external thing. The more time I have spent at the foot of the cross and at Calvary, the more the Lord says, son, worship me. He deserves it. Son, worship me. Son, worship me. Worship me right now through faith. Well, Lord, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. Worship me. Worship. Christ wants us to worship. He seeketh such to worship. I've been down at the foot of the cross and thought, thinking about Christ hanging there, suffering and dying. Why? Also, that I don't have to die and go to hell. He deserves worship. He deserves praise. He deserves more than us to just sit there and act like a pious Christian that knows everything and knows how to do everything. Friend, he deserves for us to be humbled enough to embarrass our flesh and say, the Lord has been good to me. He deserves enough for when our preacher preaches and the conviction of the Holy Ghost comes in here for you to humble yourself enough to come down to an altar. That's worship. It's external. People watch you come down and worship. People hear you, watch you raise your hand. Worship is external. And we all worship something.
That's the truth.
Whether you might be worshiping your sin, you might be worshiping those parties you go to. You might be worshiping fornicating. You might be worshiping, God forbid, a sports team more than God. We all worship what we're passionate about. We might as well just start worshiping God. Lives are changed at Calvary. Fellowship with God happens at Calvary. The Lord changed my heart. This afternoon, I had a message that I was going to preach that was going to get me labeled as a Ruckmanite, sure as the world. I was going to be so dispensationally correct, it was insane. But the Lord changed my heart. He said, son, just linger around Calvary. That's what I've done tonight. Calvary has the answers to everything, friend. I don't have the answer for you. But if you come down to Calvary, Christ will give you the answers. Lord, I thank you for another day of life, the opportunity that you've given us to be in the Lord's house tonight. Lord, we're undeserving and we're unworthy of the blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Lord, I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the cross that you've shed your blood on, Lord. I thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I pray if there be anybody in here tonight that's not been washed in the blood of Jesus, that you'd send Holy Ghost conviction. If there be somebody that needs to get right with you, Lord, I pray that they would choose to sit at the foot of the cross tonight and do the needful thing. It's in your son's perfect holy name I pray. Amen.